It's the most wonderful time of the day slash year. Ladies and gentlemen, Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch. Hello, how are you?
Hello, hello. It's spring around here. I hope it's springing near you too, wherever you are. The magnolia is in full bloom. The cherry blossoms are about to open. Now, I have a cherry tree out my kitchen window, but it's in the shade. So even though the cherries are blooming elsewhere, they're just about to pop by me. Anyway, it all brings back a dish that has gained international fame, but started right here in New York City at the restaurant Le Cirque. And it's pasta or spaghetti or whatever, primavera. Primavera means spring. And this was not a dish, by the way, that Le Cirque, where it started, invented for the spring. It has an actual interesting history, I think interesting, New York City food interesting. It's in my book, actually, this story. Cirio Maccioni, who was the owner of Le Cirque and sometimes called the ringmaster at Le Cirque, it was a circus. It was the social restaurant of the 1970s and 80s in New York. And I very much recall taking my mother to lunch at Le Cirque just so that she could have that experience. And it was an experience. There were all kinds of fashion people there, celebrity there. I once sat next to Bill Cosby for the night. That was a lot of fun, I gotta say. And you could people watch. And I was there to people watch. Nobody was watching me. So Sirio would put me at a banquette at one end of the room so I could see the whole room. He knew I wanted a people watch. And I sat with my mother, and we were having a grand old time. And in came a man named John Loring, who was at that time the design director of Tiffany, but actually I knew him from another life. I mean, he was a social friend before he became the design director of Tiffany, and very, very, I have to say, uppity. And he came in with a woman who I also knew named Eleanor Lambert. Eleanor, who died at age 100, was almost to her dying day a major force in the fashion industry. She's the one who created Fashion Week. A whole slew of things that Eleanor Lambert created around fashion. And she came in with John, and I don't remember who was on the other side, who I was sitting next to, but whoever I was sitting next to was having a feud with Eleanor Lambert. And so Sirio asked my mother and I to move over one table so that we could be the buffer. He used that word, buffer, between Eleanor Lambert and I'm forgetting who else was there on the other side. And forevermore after that, my mother always said, "Oh, I was a buffer at Le Cirque." She was very proud of that and told the story. But the story of, I didn't ex personally experience this, but the story behind spaghetti or pasta primavera is it's in doubt, the story, because Sirio told one version of how the dish came about, and his chef, a man named, a very talented man named Jean Vergne, French chef, created this recipe. Now, it depends on who you listen to. I listened to Jean Vergne. I'm sure he was more reliable than Sirio. As much as I loved Sirio, he did know how to weave a tale. Whereas I think Jean Vergne was basically honest and told the story of how he was at his friend Ed Giobbe. Ed Giobbe, an interesting man.
Ed Giobbe.
Yeah,
Oh
did you
boy.
know Ed Giobbe?
Yes, we got Ed Giobbe stories. Go on.
Oh, you have Ed Giobbe stories also. Well, he was a painter and a cook, and he lived in the village, and he kept a garden. And according to Jean Vergne, by the way, Jean Vergne wrote this story in his cookbook. I'm forgetting the name of the cookbook, but it'll come to me. He was at Ed Giobbe's house, and he came up with this idea to use all these garden vegetables in a pasta dish. And he did. Now, he had a chef, a French chef named Jean-Louis, And apparently neither of them really liked pasta. They certainly didn't want to cook pasta. This is cereal. So the dish was never made in the kitchen. Pasta primavera or spaghetti primavera was only made in the dining room, so that these two French snobby chefs didn't have to deal with the pasta. All the vegetables that went into the dish were pre-cooked, and they were just put into a sauté pan in the dining room along with the pasta. And I have to say, people ordered this dish very often because they thought, oh, it's a lot of vegetables and it's not going to be too fattening. Everybody at Le Cirque was concerned about things being too fattening. In fact, it drove the kitchen crazy that they had a large part of their clientele just wanted a plain piece of broiled fish with a salad on the side, dressing on the side as well. But this dish, actually the base is, and I have the actual recipe. It's in my book, New York City Food. It's a half a cup, I'm sorry, three quarters of a cup of heavy cream mixed with mascarpone, three tablespoons of mascarpone. And then, of course, there's butter and Parmigiano Reggiano in it. So it's really cheese and cream loaded. And the vegetables, I'm not going to give you the exact recipe because, you know what, it's a restaurant recipe and it requires a lot of time and a lot of patience, and I don't want to do it. I have other ways of making primavera more spring-like. But this one, the original one, was mushrooms, caps only, sliced like 1/8 inch thick, zucchini. Now, it's true. You can get really nice zucchini in the spring. People think of it as a summer vegetable, but the first zucchini, to me, are always the best. So one, you need a cup of zucchini, a little round, sliced 1/8 inch thick. Now, I would never put broccoli in a spring dish, but the original recipe does call for broccoli florets, as well as asparagus. To me, those don't go together. Is, of course, oil, because extra virgin olive oil, because you need to saute some of these vegetables, along with some garlic, quite a lot of basil. You need, and then the end, by the way, Verne, Jean Verne, the chef said it looked too green to him, you Frenchman, so he put in canned tomatoes. So it has diced, I hope, San Marzano tomatoes, salt, pepper. That's about it. So all these vegetables get cooked separately, put all together in this really heavy cream and mascarpone sauce, and tossed on spaghetti. This, by the way, is supposed to be enough for a half pound of spaghetti. To me, that's at least a half a pound of spaghetti could feed four people with this rich sauce on it. So that's primavera, which I always think of as light and springy, but it's not light. It's not all that springy. Oh, well, the other thing that they added, because they were French, was what the French call mange tout, which is a snow pea pod. They call mange tout in French because you can eat the whole thing, pod and all. So, but I say any toss of spring vegetables with pasta is a primavera. And in fact, around the world these days, if you see pasta primavera or spaghetti primavera on a menu, chances are it's not at all like the one they served at Le Cirque. By the way, it never went on the menu. You had to know it was there, and they did prepare a table side, which made a show out of vegetable pasta, and it became very, very chic. And by the way, what really made it so popular was that one day early on in the creation of this dish, Mimi Sheraton, who was then the restaurant critic for the New York Times, and Pierre Frenet, who was a real French chef who at that point was writing a cooking column for the New York Times, they lunched together at Le Cirque. And they loved this dish. They were offered it. They didn't know about it. They were offered it, and they ate it, and they loved it. And they sent Craig Claiborne in to eat it. Craig Claiborne was then the chief muckety-muck food person at the New York Times. And he liked it so much that he wrote about it. And then I think it was House and Garden magazine got hold of it and actually had a Cirio create a beautiful version of it so that they could photograph it in color. And after it appeared in the New York Times and after the recipe appeared in House and Garden magazine, it became the rage. That's how these things happen. These days, I don't know if anybody is capable, any critic or food writer is capable of creating that kind of rage for a dish. There are just so many of them out there nowadays. I guess TikTok has taken the lead and does sort of introduce recipes that have never been seen before. So anyway, to me, spring is asparagus, artichokes, peas. By the way, the recipe for pasta primavera calls for fresh peas. Nobody uses fresh peas anymore. Fresh peas are so unreliable. I always use frozen peas these days. And by the way, there is a difference from brand to brand. I'll let you figure out which one you like best. But the ones I buy are pretty expensive, like, you know, $6 for a 10, 12 ounce bag, whatever it is. It's expensive, but they're worth it. They're really good peas. And we can eat just pasta and peas. I could call that primavera. And I make it in a bunch of different ways. But the way that Bob likes it best is with cream, of course. And in that case, I don't use pancetta or guanciale, but I have a version that's with pancetta also. And really, you don't need much more than cream, Parmigiano and butter, and that goes on your pasta. And what else do you need? You want cream? You can put cream. Mascarpone. I don't use mascarpone very much. I know a lot of people who keep it in the fridge all the time to use it to enrich sauces, but it's not my thing. But certainly, if you're making a spring pasta, you might want to use some mascarpone, which has a little. If you're not familiar with it, it's basically cream cheese with an acid edge. It's a fermented product. It's not actually cheese. By the way, neither is Gorgonzola. Did you know that? Gorgonzola is not really cheese. It's shot with mold from aging, but it's not cheese. It's a fermented product. Anyway, so that's my primavera. Just really, pasta e piselli. Now, when I find the asparagus to make, I do love cutting up the asparagus into, let's say, 1-inch pieces on the bias. And then you can just saute those in butter until they're tender. Even the tips get nice and tender. And if you have heavy asparagus, I peel them, you know, but I don't like truly the pencil thin ones. I don't think they have as much flavor as slightly bigger ones. And in that case, I break off the end. And if they really are, you know, thin skinned, I'll take my peeler and peel off some skin. And that's it. Sauteed asparagus. If you want to throw some peas in there, some frozen peas defrosted, good idea. A shallot or two. If you like garlic, you go instead of the shallot. I like shallots myself. Of course, you could use onion as well, and saute that until the vegetables are pretty much tender. Add some cream if you want or not. But add some more oil and just toss it with some macaroni. I like that. With good oil and salt and pepper and cheese, that's all I need.
Yeah.
So it's spring is easy to cook, you know, because nothing takes a very long time.
No, nor is it meant to.
Yeah. So anyway, I look forward to more spring stuff. We're going to have summer weather this week, so that may bring about more things to harvest. In fact, this Saturday, I'm sure I'm going to go to the market and see if I can find some spinach, which to me is, you know, it's one of the first things that come out of the ground. And I must say that spinach, that first spring spinach, to me is always the most delicious. And I cook big loads of it because you can spinach. And then recook it later with other ways.
Where do you get it?
Well, I have a farmer's market on the corner. So
okay, in Park Slope, where you are?
In Brooklyn, in Park Slope, Grand Army Plaza has the second largest farmer's market after Union Square. And I always can get spinach there. I mean, I don't shop at the farmer's market that often these days, but certainly I'll be able to get prime spinach, if not this weekend, next weekend. And as I said, I cook, you know, I wash it three times. It is sandy. And I take off really heavy stems, but this time of the year there aren't any really heavy stems. And we just put the washing water clinging to it. I put them in a big pot and without the cover on, and I put it over relatively high heat. And when it starts wilting, it'll give off a lot of moisture. And with tongs, I keep turning it over and over until it's wilted down. And that's it. And then drain it. I don't use that liquid, by the way. And you can saute it with garlic and hot pepper, which is prime way. I love it. You can make creamed spinach with it. You can just eat it that way. It's delicious, just dressed with some oil and lemon juice. We like it that way, too. So, here, goodbye, broccoli. At this point in the year, I am so tired of broccoli.
I know. We won't talk
like
about
really
that for another
healthy.
8 months.
You know what
eight
you
months.
Get now? What in years past, meaning in the old days, they used to call new cabbage. Well, there is new cabbage around, but it doesn't behave the way new cabbage behaved 50 years ago in the cookbook, the old Jewish cookbooks I have that say new cabbage, because new cabbage apparently used to give off a lot more moisture than the new cabbage of today. So I would treat the new cabbage that you might find in at a farm today, well, not today, but later on this next month, that new cabbage is just like old cabbage. It doesn't really give off much moisture. So that means you want to cook it moist, which I do, just with the water clinging to it. Same as with spinach, but it takes a lot longer to soften a cabbage than it does spinach. It takes only minutes. And that's about all.
I have to go back. Can we go back to Gorgonzola for a second?
Yeah.
So what's the... What
well, there's
the,
a cheese. There's a product. It's a dairy product called
right.
Stracchino. Stracchino is a creamy, soft product, like a cheese. It's like cheese, and people think of it as cheese, but in fact, it's not made the same way as cheese. You take Stracchino and you age it, injecting it with some of that green mold, and it becomes Gorgonzola. And the young the Gorgonzola is called Gorgonzola Dolce, sweet, but beyond being sweet, which it's not, quite salty, it's very, very creamy. So you can spread Gorgonzola Dolce, whereas a fully aged Gorgonzola, you can't do that. It's too crumbly just to actually spread it like a spreading cheese. So that's Gorgonzola is a made up cheese. It's great.
Okay.
I love Gorgonzola. Don't get me wrong. I love Stracchino too, by the way. And I'm toying with the idea of trying this, but there's a kind of focaccia. They call it focaccia, but it's actually like a double crust pizza made in Liguria, in a couple of towns in Liguria. The Recco, Recco, is the town most famous for it. So it's often called focaccia di Recco, even when it's not made in Recco. And what it is two very thin pizza crusts enclosing stracchino cheese. And you can buy stracchino, for instance, at Di Paolo in Little Italy. I know they have stracchino. And Marie's Cheese probably has stracchino. I don't think any ordinary supermarket has stracchino, but it's available. And you put in big globs of this stracchino on a bottom thin layer of pizza dough, and then you put the other layer on top. You squish it all down so that it's a flat, and then you bake it, and it's extraordinary. The stracchino melts so well, and the pastry is it's dough, spread dough is so thin. You wonder how do they get this? How do they do this? But it's done. So that's the story with Gorgonzola. And I think it's time for me to retreat from spring and go have my spring breakfast, which is actually
Which
the same
is
as my winter breakfast.
and your summer
I don't know.
breakfast?
I have several breakfasts. Today, I'm into peanut butter. I had a laugh about this yesterday. I saw in a store a new treat. It was figs. I'm sorry, figs. Dates with peanut butter and chocolate. Well, you don't need to buy that in the store. You can make that yourself, and I do sometimes, even without the chocolate, for breakfast. A date. I actually worked this out. I have three large medjool dates with what amounts to about a tablespoon and a half of peanut butter. And by the way, it's a breakfast that sticks with me until mid-afternoon. So I think that's a good breakfast. Okay, kids, everybody have a, it's going to be a real spring week. So enjoy it.
Bring in the spring. Thank you very much. This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Bench on Robin Hood Radio.